Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Randy Sweet, my colleague at MRM. And we are looking at an epic historical event in Mormon history, and that is the Mormon handcart and Mormon handcart pioneers. Most specifically, we are looking at the Willie Martin handcart companies that left for the Salt Lake Valley really too late in the game. They left in mid-July and towards the end of July. And really, if you were to make it to Salt Lake City before the winter set in and became a real problem, you had to be in Wyoming by that time to a place called Independence Rock. And we were discussing that yesterday. To give a little bit of a background here, when most of us think about the pioneers coming across the plains, we think of pioneers in covered wagons. And there were a lot of Mormons who did come across the plains in covered wagons. However, in order to get as many of these immigrants to the Salt Lake Valley as possible, you can imagine there's a lot of money involved, and a lot of the people coming over were very poor. Brigham Young had what it was known as the Perpetual Immigration Fund, which helped finance a lot of the poorer people to come across the plains. And when those funds were starting to be depleted, he had to find ways of cutting corners. So instead of having wagons, they went to what's known as these hand carts. Basically two-wheeled carts that had a flat platform on them that held all their belongings, and they were to pull these things across the plains. So you can understand why a lot of Mormons look to this part of their history, and it strengthens, as they would say, strengthens their testimony that their ancestors could go through so much, and that causes a lot of modern Mormons to want to remain faithful to the cause. One of the reasons why a lot of the Mormons went on even so late was because they felt that there was some kind of divine plan, you say, in order for them to do so. Let's talk about that, because you have a book called Devil's Gate. Now, this book is available. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. If you're in Salt Lake City, you're downtown, you can go to the Utah Lighthouse bookstore. They have it there. But Devil's Gate fills in a lot of the blanks. Now, you were telling me that there really hasn't been a whole lot written about the controversies surrounding this handcart expedition, the Willie Martin companies, until what, about the 1960s? 1960s. Yeah. Then there were a lot of books, I guess, starting to be written on this. Has there been?
There's definitely a few out there. Primarily, they're written by LDS authors.
Mm-hmm. So you would think that they would probably have a more positive spin on this?
Yeah, there definitely is a different twist. That's why we'd like to recommend this book, Devil's Gate. The author's name is David Roberts. We'd like to recommend that to our listeners, mm-hmm. because he gives a very non-biased take on the whole handcart disaster. The book is about 334 pages. It's a very fascinating read, because he also goes into other parts of Mormon history, which we feel are important to know, because, as you know, Bill, a lot of our Mormons that we know, their journey has started out of Mormonism as a result of taking a look at their history. So this would be a great book for our listeners to pick up, just to learn stuff, because like you were just mentioning, this whole handcart thing is just a very much a part of their culture. As we were talking about off air, Bill, a lot of the Mormons in the summertime, they do what are called treks. Mm-hmm. And they'll literally go to areas where this events took place in Martin's Cove.
Oh, yeah. There's actually an entrepreneur in southern Utah who actually builds handcarts and rents them out to Mormons. Yes. I mean, this has become like a business here.
So,
go ahead.
It's a big part of their just their upbringing, their culture. There's different handcart treks that you can take in Utah, different areas. In Wyoming, a place called Martin's Cove, that's where a lot of this disastrous stuff took place. There's actually a Mormon visitor center there where they let you use hand carts. And that visitor center, Bill, attracts a little over 32,000 people a year just to do treks and just to visit that whole area because it's held in high regard.
So you went out there with your wife, Carol.
Yes.
And you took one of the hand carts over part of that area.
Yes.
So to kind of give you a feel of what it was like. Yeah. Now, you told me, though, that it's really not the same because you don't have all the weight on the hand cart that those pioneers actually had. Yeah. Each person, I understand, was allowed, 17 pounds
of personal belongings.
Plus, they had to have some cooking utensils and things like that. Now, the tents and the food were kept in wagons, and they had so many wagons per company, from what I understand.
Right.
Something like 5 wagons.
Yeah, the Willie Company, it said that they had approximately 2 or 3 wagons.
Okay, so
I mean, basically the provisions that these guys were given were not a whole lot. That's one thing we haven't alluded to, but I'd like to share with our listening audience. The rations were given out at the start of the journey in Iowa City for 1 pound of flour per adult per day. And then the kids, obviously it was less than that. It was estimated that the calories that would allow, calories weren't a big deal. They didn't really know what calorie intake and stuff, but it was about 1,500 calories a day that the adults were given.
And a guy pulling a hand cart all day long for what, about 20 miles a day? Is that just about what they covered?
It varied from, you know, a few miles to over 20. These guys were burning up seriously probably well over 4,000 or 5,000 calories, you know, and you got a picture that if you've ever been in Iowa in the middle of the summer, it is hot and humid. It literally got into the hundreds according to the records, 100 degrees out there in the middle of Iowa, Nebraska, hot, humid.
Well, you and I have been in Nauvoo during the summer for the Nauvoo pageant, and it is cooking out there, and it is so sweltering hot. I remember the temperature going up as it was getting towards 6 o'clock in the evening.
To that century mark, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So what basically these hand carts, you know, at these sites, you mentioned that my wife and I had gone out there. We actually went out there in July. We thought, I love going to the LDS historical sites. I think it's a great place to learn and to also share your faith with the missionaries that are there. But we decided we wanted to pull a hand cart so we could just relate better with the people in our culture. So you literally can just go up there. They'll give you a hand cart. They don't even take your ID. They're very, everybody's honest. I guess they figure you're not going to go too far with a hand cart in the middle of Wyoming unless you have a trailer or something.
Yeah, really.
But anyway, you're allowed to pull a hand cart. And we did the journey that you basically pull it for 3.3 miles. And then about halfway there, you stop. And then you have to walk up to Martin's Cove, where a lot of the saints in the Martin Company got stranded and they took shelter in this area. Mm-hmm. And because it's on the Bureau of Land Management land, you have to literally walk. Mm-hmm. And it's about a 2.2 mile round trip. So we're picturing this. We're doing this in the middle, end of July, first part of August, and it's like 90, low 90s. And that's the thing that most people don't understand, I don't think. When they take the treks and when we took it, you know, it's 90 degrees out. When the Mormon pioneers hit that area, it was snowing. When they hit it about October 19th of 1856, it started snowing and it didn't let up pretty much. I mean, they were in deep, deep trouble there. So even when you're doing it as taking a trek, you're in your nice Nike shoes, you're in your, you know, they're providing everything. You have to, it's a workout and stuff, but it's not even close to what the early saints had to do.
It couldn't possibly, because if each person is allowed, each adult is allowed 17 pounds, the children were allowed about 10 pounds. So if you're 5 people, okay, you have 2 adults, 17 times 2, okay, you've got 34 pounds there. And then you've got the kids. Let's say you had 3 kids. Okay, there's another 30 pounds. Then you've got cooking utensils. Now, some historians have said as many as 500 pounds on one of these hand carts. That's kind of hard to believe.
I find that hard to believe, Bill. When you got a cart that weighs only 65 pounds, it's built out of green wood because it hadn't been seasoned yet. That was one of the main issues of those guys traveling from Iowa City to Salt Lake. The hand carts just kept breaking down all the time, and they had to jury rig stuff.
In a rush to get these things made for these people because they're already late.
Yes.
And naturally, the wood has not had time to dry. Now it's going to dry on the job. It's going to dry out on the trek,
and when wood contracts.
Okay.
One of the issues that I've read in the book Devil's Gate is you could hear the sounds of the hand carts for like a mile away. They were just squealing. So you picture you're struggling, you're giving it all you can, your rations aren't adequate enough for your nourishment to get through, and then you got to listen to these wheels just squealing and stuff, all the elements. These guys were real troopers.
Well, there's no doubt, and basically, the picture that we are seeing being painted by this book and other of the pioneers' accounts themselves is they are starting off in negatives. They're starting off in a negative number here. They're behind the eight ball already. So the chance of their success has already been limited because of so many factors that have been involved before they even get started. The main one being they are starting way too late. They should be in Wyoming by the time they start heading out of Iowa City. So disaster is imminent. Now, we were talking earlier about this divine plan, and we're running out of time here, so we're going to have to do this in another show, but I think it's important. Levi Savage, we talked about yesterday, was very critical of the group starting out and crossing the plains that late in the season. He is ultimately rebuked, you say, by
both James Willie and Franklin D. Richards. And Franklin D. Richards, for our listening audience,
Mormon apostle.
And he was actually an apostle from 1849 to 1899, one of the longest tenures.
And a lot of people tend to point to him as the scapegoat. But really, I think it should be brought out that Franklin Richards, being underneath the authority of Brigham Young, is also part of the victims, I would say. Yeah, you could point to him because he was like Brigham Young's spokesman, and he's the one kind of urging these people on and making Levi Savage look like the bad guy for having doubts, because that's one thing you cannot have as a faithful Latter-day Saint, is doubts in the leadership, and that is still emphasized today. In tomorrow's show, we're going to pick up and we're going to look at this divine plan that they were actually talking about, because this kind of puts, to me at least, everything in perspective as to why otherwise people who have common sense would set common sense aside in order to venture out in a trek that is going to ultimately spell disaster for many of them.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic in the state where we live. Oftentimes, we may feel frustrated in understanding what is perceived to be the state religion. If you are a Latter-day Saint who needs some honest answers to your questions, or perhaps you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the predominant religion in this culture, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be your resource on truth. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry founder Bill McKeever has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the historic Christian faith. At www.mrm.org, we have an active blog site, dozens of articles and video tools that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live presentation to equip your church body to be ambassadors for Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website, again, mrm.org. We're here for you.